go, a little Jim Croce for you. We love that. We play him a little on a regular basis because we like him. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thanks for joining us. It is Friday, March the 26th. Holy cow, this month has flown by. In a few minutes, Lucas Rentschler is going to join us. He's with the Center for Growth. That's over at Utah State University. And we're going to talk about social media subterfuge. Social media subterfuge. How the tech industry misinformed and influenced the presidential election. I know you're going to be interested. Stay tuned for that if you would. And Biden finally holds that news conference yesterday. A choreographed comedy, in my opinion. We're going to talk about that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Please stay tuned for that. And Dominion Voting Systems is suing Fox News. Did you hear about that? $1.6 billion for slander. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, Cinderella. You know the Cinderella story? Well, the production has been canceled. Because the characters are too white. So we're going to talk about that as well. And finally, in our ultimate top 10, Forbes magazine's top 10 most affordable elite colleges. You want to go to the big ones, huh? The elite ones. We're going to tell you the top 10 that you might be able to afford to get into. So stay tuned for that as well. Well, Dominion Voting Systems today filed a $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News. They said that Fox falsely said, in an effort to boost ratings, that the voting company rigged the elections, the Trump elections. First defamation suit filed against a media outlet by the voting company. And we'll see where all of this goes. I don't think they're going to get anywhere. Fox News reports what other people say. They have opinion people on. And it's perfectly fair to say those things. But, and I'm looking at a story by Associated Press, so they're biased anyway. But here's what the Associated Press says. Those claims helped spur on rioters at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. And somehow that's the cause that Fox News was reporting about the Dominion voting machines? I don't think so. But Dominion says that Fox amplified inaccurate assertions that the company had altered votes and, quote, sold a false story of election fraud in order to serve its own commercial purposes, severely injuring Dominion in the process. So some of the Fox News on-air people have debunked the claims. An email sent to Fox this morning, not immediately returned, it says, according to the Associated Press. So, and then the AP goes on to say there was no widespread fraud in the 2020 election. So somehow they've been able to go into every precinct and decide that. How do they know? That's what I would like to know. How does anybody know there was not any widespread fraud? I don't think you can prove there was no widespread fraud. You would have to go into every precinct and see about every vote, and that's not going to be possible. So that's, but it will be interesting. Mike Lindell, I think he's still going after Dominion. I want to see where that goes. I haven't heard. Ed, have you heard anything about that Mike Lindell suit? I'm just curious. I haven't heard a word about
it. Well, they're suing Mike.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, you said...
I said Mike Lindell suit. I'm sorry. You're right. Have you heard anything about the suit involving Mike Lindell recently?
No, I'm sure it's going to take time.
Okay. Do you think he'll be able to sell any pillows between now and then?
I understand. Because of all this, he's selling more pillows than he's ever sold.
Is he really?
Which is the way it usually works anyway.
Yeah, all that publicity. So, Ed, as long as I got you, Did you watch any of the Biden, news conference yesterday?
Yeah, I did, and no pun intended, but I did doze off for a couple of seconds there. But
he has that ability, doesn't he?
It was everything I expected.
Yes, that's too bad.
Choreographed to the point. The one point where he was actually reading his response tells me that the questions were not only handpicked, but the reporters were handpicked, because I don't know if you saw when he went to his little notepad and said, "Okay, where are we?"
Yes.
Bill, and he managed to leave Fox News out of it.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
you didn't expect he was going to ask. How could he answer a direct question without having a teleprompter in front of him? You're right, and there are photos that show Biden's cheat sheet.
Yeah,
do you know about that?
Yeah.
Biden referenced cheat sheets detailing his policy point. Now, there's nothing wrong with having little notes about different topics in front of you. I think that makes good sense. But when you're able to, when everybody knows the fix is in, mm-hmm. and he even seemed to know the questions.
Yeah.
That's...
And his whole response was read from beginning to end. He never looked up.
I don't think it was totally on the machine teleprompter.
No, you didn't have a prompt. He had a little pamphlet.
Well, okay. I think that the questions were known, and that's
I'm sure they were.
There was no real, maybe in some of the follow up questions, because he got a little testy about a couple of the follow up questions.
And some people saying, and some entities are saying, well, he never brought up COVID. He never brought up the border things and what's going on there. Well, he's not going to bring it up. It's not his job to bring it up. It's the press.
Correct.
So you don't blame him. He's not going to just come out and say, by the way, hey, let's talk about this.
I wonder if he did indeed call on Fox News or maybe Newsmax. I wonder what kind of
Fox News said the guy that for Fox said he had a boatload.
Peter Ducey.
He had a boatload of questions ready.
Yeah, he did,
and he released that on Thursday, Wednesday, night before.
So photos were taken at the event. It showed Biden holding a card labeled "Infrastructure." Key stats on that. One bullet point noted that China spends three times more on infrastructure than the U.S. You know, that's all right. I'd have a little cheat sheet with me. You ever notice sometimes where the quarterback on a football team, he's got that wristband, and he snaps open the thing, and he's got all these different plays? That's a cheat sheet. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. In another photo, Biden was seen consulting a sheet that appeared to show the pictures and the news outlets of the journalists so that he would know where they were. In other words, if he was looking over here for Mary, but Mary was in the back of the room over on the other side, that's not going to work.
He didn't disappoint us. He did drift the one time.
Oh, he drifted.
Yeah, and remember he went...
He all of a sudden launched into something about infrastructure, and the question had nothing to
do. And then he was...
It had to do with the... The thing in the Senate, what is it when you delay a vote? The filibuster.
How about when he said...
He went into infrastructure.
How about he said when he was in the Senate for 120 years?
He was.
I knew he was that old. I knew it.
Now you know why he acts like he does. Well, that was supposed to be a joke. I kind of think.
Was it?
I think so.
Well, then he's horrible. You're supposed to deliver. But
did you notice that he misnamed the president of China?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. No. The president of China is Xi,
uh-huh.
and at first he called him either Xu or Yu. I think he called him Yu, President Yu. I noticed that. Yu. Oh, my goodness.
Well, like I said, when he brings up Russia, he's going to call him Brezhnev.
There you go. Now, we're being a little bit unfair to the guy because anybody can get up there and make a mistake, but we're already looking for it because we know that there's something going on with him. So when we do see it, we go, aha.
Okay.
Right?
You feel sorry about how many years has he been in
37
political?
37 or 38.
Okay, you think he's done a few of these, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not as president, obviously.
Well,
he takes, he had 20 questions asked.
Was it 20?
From 10, or is it 20 reporters asking 10, or 10 reporters asking 20? 10 reporters asking 20.
That's
not good enough. Yeah. That is not good enough. You know, in the time that he spent up there, which was a little bit over an hour, do you know how many questions Trump would have taken?
Yeah.
Plus, Trump would allow the people to scream out the questions.
Yeah, and he would have fired back quickly.
Yeah.
As where Biden took forever to answer a question.
You're right about insomnia. It's a cure for insomnia. All right. We've dumped on him long enough. We'll dump on him a little bit later. But right now we're going to take our break because we want to come back and talk about something else that occurred yesterday, and that was that the social media companies were under the gun before a House committee talking about misinformation and how they might have influenced the presidential election.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Freedom Works, we thank you very much for joining us and delighted to have Lucas Rentschler join us. He is an assistant professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at Utah State University. He's also a member of their Center for Growth there. And he has put together a piece that you can find on the website, Social Media, Misinformation, and Voting Decisions. Now, they've had a get-together before a House committee of the three top platform, Facebook, Google, and Twitter. They had those three guys on. And Lucas, welcome to Freedom Works. What do you think of their performance before that committee?
Well, first, thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
The appearance before the committee was engaging and interesting, more or less what you'd expect. One of the things I thought was most interesting was this idea that there might be a tension between the profitability of, right, the bottom line of social media platforms and measures of user engagement, because that actually speaks directly to the research project that we've just finished, right? In our data, what we actually find is that if misinformation is allowed to run unchecked on a social media platform in our experiment, user engagement actually declines, both by the number of posts that get shared, number of posts that are posted on the platform, and how many people are following others. So it may be in the interest of these platforms to actually look at doing whatever they can to eliminate misinformation on there.
That's very interesting. So you are saying the more misinformation, the fewer the followers.
So that's what our data suggests.
Wow.
We would expect user engagement, which obviously social media platforms care a lot about, mm-hmm. actually decline if misinformation is allowed on the...
Yeah, you go into quite a detail about all of that. I found it very, very interesting. Did you watch any of that House committee questioning of those three guys yesterday?
I did, although I have to admit I didn't watch the entire thing. It was some good political theater with some nice sort of productive discussion happening at different intervals.
Are they taking any responsibility, those three CEOs, for what's going on? For instance, do they deserve to be blamed in any way for the rioting at the Capitol on January the 6th because of any misinformation that might have been on their platforms? Or are they to be blamed for any kind of voter trouble, voter fraud, whatever you want to call it, during the election because they would allow certain things, et cetera? What is your feeling overall about their impact on things like that?
Well, the misinformation that gets shared on platforms and how that gets linked to behavior off platforms is an incredibly important topic, and we need more research in that area. Frankly, we just don't know enough. My research focuses on a much narrower question, right? So we're looking in a laboratory environment where we're able to definitively state what's misinformation and not. So we sort of skirt around some of the difficulties of real world research in this area, and then are able to definitively state what the causal effect of misinformation is.
Okay.
But I'm very interested in trying to link sort of what happens on platforms and what when there's misinformation on platforms and what happens out external to the platform, but my research can't really speak to that in any meaningful way.
It would be hard, wouldn't it? I mean, we just don't know how people will react and what makes them react, right? I mean,
It's extremely complex.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so many things going on in our heads to begin with. So if you read something online, and maybe for a moment it gets you a little bit upset or whatever, but then, I mean, how does that... You don't know what amount of that is going to influence somebody to get up and want to go and demonstrate or, you know, whatever else. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on in the mind of a person. So I don't know if you could ever do it. You know, could you really measure it, you know? Could you really measure response to misinformation?
And the type of data that you would need to have on people would be pretty extensive. And, you know, you might worry about privacy concerns of collecting that data, but looking at people's online behavior and then matching that with offline behavior could be done. I think it would be pretty expensive, and there'd be some a lot of logistical hurdles that you'd have to overcome. But I mean, it's such an important question that I hope to see research, and I'd certainly like to be involved in that kind of research if at all possible.
Right. So we're talking, by the way, with Lucas Rentschler. He is an assistant professor at the Utah State University. He specializes in economics and finance. He's got a piece going called Social Media Misinformation and Voting Decisions. And he co-authored that. And it's very extensive. And one of the questions, Lucas, that I remember, and I didn't watch that particular House goings on, except I saw a question being asked by one of the House members about how much do you think you bear any responsibility for what has taken place when it came to the attack on January the 6th, and he asked each one of them, and I think only the guy. I can't remember. Maybe it was the guy from
Dorsey.
From Google that said, "Yes, we do." I mean, the other two kind of deflected the question, right?
That's my understanding, and I mean, it's when you're before you can certainly see the incentives that they're faced with. I mean, what maybe we should be caring about is, you know, getting a good measure of what negative effects misinformation is going to have and how we can effectively combat that.
Right.
And whether or not quizzing the CEOs or sort of giving them yes/no questions will help us do that is I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to say that you know, we do know that eliminating misinformation on social media is going to make us better off. And right, worrying about misinformation and doing something concrete about it is something that's important to do. And we find basically that voting outcomes, meaning the percentage of time that groups vote for sort of the best policy, actually goes down when misinformation is allowed. And actually is, you know, is as if there was no social media at all, or social media in the absence of misinformation, we actually see this pretty substantial gain.
So it's a demotivator. Misinformation on the on these platforms might be a demotivator for people, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, demotivator in the sense that they become less engaged, but also, right, they're seeing it. If they're trying to form accurate beliefs about how they maybe should vote, so in our experiment, we're looking at a voting decision. Right, they can acquire information on their own, or maybe they're going on social media and getting information.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're trying to then, let's say, you know, compile all that information and, you know, decide how best to vote, the presence of that misinformation can really.
But here's the thing: I don't see how you can keep
decision-making.
Yeah, excuse me. I don't see how you can keep misinformation off these platforms. I mean, these vehicles are supposed to be an outlet for people to express their views, and that's a free speech issue. Now, all of a sudden, they intercede, they being these platforms, and say, well, I'm seeing certain things that are being said and being picked up by other people that are not true, in my opinion. So therefore, I'm going to intercede on this. And now we're going to be the thought or speech police. And this is where I think is, you know, these guys are running into trouble. Your thought?
Well, so that word opinion is really important, right? Because, and that's part of the problem with effective content moderation and even research into misinformation and content moderation, is that getting agreement on what actually is misinformation is extremely difficult to do, right? What I call information, somebody else might call fact.
Correct.
And so that's actually the benefit of the type of research that I'm doing, is that we abstract from that extremely important debate and focus on areas where we do have this objective measure, so we can get a clean assessment. And then on your point of, like, just the practicalities of, right, how do you moderate information and content on social media, right? That's actually the next paper that I've got coming out.
Oh, good.
And then within this laboratory environment, start assessing different content moderation policies and what works.
Sure.
Because, you know, you don't, there's that trade-off. If you become too restrictive, you are potentially going to be taking down content which might be helpful to people. And if you are too lenient, then you would get enough misinformation that it can degrade the quality of decision-making.
Sure.
So what policies work is a big open question that
I'm fascinated. First of all, this has got to be awfully tough work. You got to really love what you're doing. But are there any other nuggets besides the maybe demotivation thing you talked about? Any other nuggets you picked up so far from this?
Yeah, absolutely, right? So, I mean, what we essentially find is that if you have social media without misinformation, is that everybody's better off. Right, the quality of group decision-making goes up, and actually we see voters becoming more individually informed, right? Not just from the information they see on social media, but they go out of their way to become more informed and to acquire costly information. But once we allow that misinformation, right, we still see that voters are getting more informed, but the effect of the misinformation is that it degrades and kind of wipes out all the gains of social media. So it really highlights the need to tackle this problem, and it's a difficult and thorny problem, because there's gains, right, social gains to social media that we want to realize, and effective content moderation is an important tool in doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the last thing, which I already mentioned but is worth reinforcing, is that it's in the interest of social media platforms to be moderating misinformation, because you will see disengagement of users, and that's not good for their bottom line.
So they need to be monitoring.
They need, social media has a vested interest in curbing misinformation on their platform.
Okay, so what you're saying is,
we need more research on figuring out exactly what that misinformation is. I can't speak to that.
No, but you kind of are inferring that the social media platforms need to be the hall monitors. They need to be supervising with the content. They need it should not be a hands-off thing if the reading public is to be engaged or to be more engaged or to continue to be engaged. Would that be a fair statement?
The paper can't speak to the actual mechanisms, meaning should it be the platforms themselves? In a subsequent paper, we actually show, in two subsequent papers, we show users themselves are willing to pay for fact-checking and to avoid misinformation. And this could be something that's relevant, right? So it's not clear that we need some a third party stepping in, or with the platforms themselves, right? We need more research to figure out what mechanisms are going to be best suited to curb that. But yeah, what we found in our subsequent research is that allowing users the ability to provide fact-checking misinformation is a productive way of curbing misinformation and flagging what misinformation is posted.
Gotcha.
But I'll have more to say on that when this next paper is.
I have one final question, Lucas. When you go to bed at night, are all of these thoughts keeping you awake, or are you able to sleep?
I'm definitely able to sleep. Although there's always concerns, with social media and letting your letting your kids on there, and all the problems with the platforms.
I'm just thinking all of these hypotheticals that are going on, in your mind. I'm just wondering if that is a tonic for insomnia.
The marquee thing is if we can do something about misinformation, social media can be a source for good.
So, yes, indeed.
There's a lot of value that can be created there.
Well, keep up the good fight. And I thank you so very much for joining us. I would look forward to talking with you when you've advanced further in your research.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Lucas Rentschler, Center for Growth. Going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to bring in the proprietor of the Barber Pole. I bet he's got a few thoughts on that press conference of Joe Biden's. I see your teeth flash, Jamaican heart is so sweet. Down with Lexington, cross border, seven street. This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. It's a
beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network, Freedom Works. If you can't listen to us live, Big Ed's got all our shows on podcast. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Joe Concha, some of you that watch television or perhaps go to The Hill, Joe Concha's a Hill media columnist, and basically he tore apart Joe Biden's presentation in front of the press yesterday. He went on to say that Biden's team has zero confidence that Biden can handle questions outside of handpicked reporters, and I think it was kind of confirmed yesterday. I mean, Biden would not allow, and you know how quiet the press was, just sort of sitting there on their hands. I didn't hear anybody interrupting each other, trying to get a question in. What are they? They were like robots. I know that they're, you know, the, when Trump was up there, they were screaming over each other to ask him questions, but not with Biden. And there was Biden stumbling along. Okay, let's see who's next here. And he's looking at his little list. Okay, we'll pick on such and such, right? And then they stand up and they ask a question. Then they ask a second question. Some of them asked a third and fourth question. He was going on for about 10 minutes with one woman. All of them were on the liberal side, too. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole. Andrew, did you at all? I wonder if you even bothered to watch that presentation. You were doing haircutting, maybe, right?
Paul, I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Oh, you did watch it?
I sat there and laughed at the whole thing.
Okay.
It was better than Saturday Night Live.
It was pretty funny, wasn't it?
Paul, isn't it amazing that they got seven people in the room? That's all I was able to count was seven. Like you said, they're all sitting on their hands. This guy's got his encyclopedia in front of him.
Yes.
Answers to the questions that they were going to give him.
Yeah, hold on a second here as he's thumbing through the book. Let me get to that one.
Doesn't that give you a lot of confidence in our government today?
Well, the fix is in, and we know it, and the press is part of it.
Do you know that the minute the moron started talking on television yesterday, the Iranians launched a rocket at an Israeli battleship?
Did they really?
Yes.
At an Israeli battleship?
You're trying to test him, do you?
Well, I'm afraid he's going to sit on his hands like Biden, like Obama did. Remember when they attacked our Libyan embassy, killed all those people?
Right.
What did the Obama administration do? Nothing.
Well,
and it was on a September 11th date. So we knew that, it was in response to the 9/11 and the whole bit.
Well, this administration is destroying the country. He can't worry about what's going on in the world. He's got his illegal immigrants. He's got them set up in hotels. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Now, here are some of the things they did not ask. And by the way, he wouldn't call on Newsmax, One America News, Fox News. He wouldn't call on them. He's afraid.
No kidding.
No.
The guy doesn't know where he is. The mortician that did his makeup made him look alive yesterday. Stand there for an hour. Okay? I mean, listen, Biden is not running this country. You know it, I know it, and the people that think that he is need their help.
I think that was reinforced during that performance, that he's not really running things.
The problem is we need to find out who really is running things.
Yeah. So he talked to 10 reporters. There were more than that in the room. And some of the things they wouldn't talk about. They didn't ask him about the COVID. They didn't ask.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
Be real. The COVID's the thing of the past. People don't even care about hearing it no more.
Yeah, I think there's some truth in that. They did not ask him about reopening schools. They did not ask him about his beloved son, Hunter, who, again, has now got another thing going. He's tossing guns into trash cans.
Yep, yep.
Not one question about Hunter Biden, who's in deep trouble.
Paul, if these people asked him those type of questions, they would have lost their jobs.
I think there is some truth to that. Then there was no question about the Boulder massacre. You know, the guy that Muslim guy that walked into the food store.
That's because, again, if it was a Caucasian male that went in there and caused this, he would have said something.
Yeah, but you're probably right.
Okay, but because it was a Muslim, we can't talk about it.
Yeah, and you know what? It had nothing to do with it. I think the guy was a nutbag. He, was one of those cellar dwellers in his parents' home and all that kind of nonsense. So we know that, it's a singleton thing, but go ahead.
What really gets me is he was under the FBI radar. Oh, isn't their radar working or what?
I know.
Okay, again, which reaffirms me they need to open up the insane asylums again.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy was a nutcase.
Now, I talked a little earlier about Fox News being sued by Dominion, the voting systems company. $1.6 billion. Do you think that's going to go anywhere?
Well, the only one I think that's going to go anywhere is with Mike Lindell.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Special, if you watch his special that he had, his two-hour special, he's got the evidence. He had the specialist right on his show.
Yeah.
So he can't wait to put him in front of a judge, in front of a camera.
Yeah, and you and I saw that, and I thought that they sounded credible. I'm waiting for that, too. I wonder when that's going to occur.
They're going to keep that hidden, Paul.
Do you think?
What do I think? Look at, they can't get reporters to talk to the border. They're under a gag order, okay? This is Nazi Germany, Paul. Get rid of the statues, get rid of our history, get rid of the books, keep our kids out of school, pay the people to riot. This is Nazi Germany in 1930.
Yeah, it's very similar. You're right. We are suppressing people's freedoms. We are suppressing their speech. And we had another case of it, of course, with the platform companies called before the House. There's speech suppression going on there on that kind of a thing as well. He did talk a little bit about the gun issue. And, of course, they turned that Boulder thing into a question, of course, of guns. In the Atlanta situation with the massage parlors, more about anti-Asian, right? I mean, the theme of the Boulder was guns. The theme of the Atlanta massage parlors was Asians.
Well, they got to keep racism going. That's all they got, to try and divide the people. If they can divide the people, that is what they're doing, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody doesn't see that, divide the people, you're going to conquer them.
Get That's this right. race, divide and conquer.
Race, get this race against this race. What do you have?
So Donald Trump, and I didn't hear him, so I don't know exactly what he said, but I understand Donald Trump got on one of the programs and talked about the performance of Biden. Did you happen to hear any of that?
No, I'm sorry. I was sitting in my hot tub when he was on.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't blame you.
I had to get rid of all my anxieties from what's going on.
Yes. So, and then he was asked, Biden was asked about running again. He claims that he's planning on running again. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? By that point, 4 years from now, he won't even know which way to turn for the bathroom. I don't see how he's going to run again.
Well, he can't run. He has a hard time walking.
Yes, that's true, too.
Okay,
is he going to walk again to become president?
They're going to have to unbury him from his grave, but that'll be okay, because that's going to get the Democrats to vote anyway. They'll just get a dead president.
Yeah.
I got one now.
He might do less harm if he was dead. Now that I think about it.
I don't know if this country could take 2 years of this. And you know what? I think they're going to start their gun crap. And from what I heard, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday that happens to be the president of Bikers for 45.
Oh.
And he was telling me that the militias are arming themselves like you've never seen.
Oh.
And this guy's a very good source. I mean, I don't know nothing about militias, to be honest with you. It's just a rumor that I heard.
Yeah.
But I believe they exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe they exist.
Yeah. Well, there's always the question of that kind of a thing going on. You know, a little background. There's always that going on. I don't know either.
Well, Paul, you know, there's a reason they got Washington all barricaded.
When are they going to lift all of that?
Well, when they think everybody's under control and all the sheep have followed them into the cages, then.
Yeah.
But I think they got a tougher fight than they're going to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, while the deep state is running this country, I believe Barack Obama's behind it with a bunch of his cronies.
What do you think about Kamala Harris being appointed to go down and take care of the border crisis?
She can't take care of herself. Yeah, I mean, Paul, what has she ever done? I want to know why they're letting her be in office yet, because they're getting rid of all the people that said they smoked marijuana.
I know.
Well, she's admitting it on television, laughing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Why is she still there?
She's probably under the influence of it when she was laughing. I don't know.
I mean, be honest. Is that a hypocritical thing?
Of course it's hypocritical. Every one of them would have to leave.
That's right. I mean, so
why are they picking on certain people? I think if I was one of those people that was told to leave, I'd sue them.
I would have to get Sidney Powell.
Oh, speaking of Sidney Powell. Speaking of Sidney Powell, the attorney that was, for a while, I thought, perhaps not, but representing in some way Donald Trump. And then she comes out and says, well, actually, in court she says, no, none of that stuff was necessarily true. She admitted it. I guess that's her defense, that she can say whatever she wants.
Well, you know, Paul, you know why they bury attorneys 20 feet deep instead of 6 feet deep?
Go ahead, as long as it's not too dirty.
Because deep down, they're okay.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one before. That's kind of cute.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, you can't trust none of them. You can't trust none of these politicians. Not a one.
Yeah. What about Rudy Giuliani? Is he in the same, would you cast him in the same boat as Sidney Powell these days?
I don't know. That'd be a tough one. That guy said, the only one I got faith in with all this, I believe, is Mike Lindell, because Mike Lindell spent his own money to do this.
Yeah.
And research it.
I know he's a believer.
Bigger bags of wind.
I'll say one thing about Lindell. I don't think anybody would argue that he believes what he's talking about.
And that he's got to have reason to believe it, because I don't think he's that type of a person that would say something if he didn't have the backing.
Yeah.
Now, the attorneys, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying with attorneys. I mean, you can't be an attorney and tell the truth all the time. It's just an impossibility.
You know, it's just like if you're an attorney, you know somebody murdered somebody, and you know that
you got to defend them.
And you got to defend them.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
what's
do
right about that.
I do. You can't come out and say, "Well, my guy's guilty. He certainly did do the killing."
Yeah.
But we throw him on the mercy of you, the jury. Well, you're not going to get much mercy that way.
Like I say, I wouldn't want to be an attorney.
No.
No, but I do want to know the undertaker that's working on Biden, because he is doing a good job.
Yes, he is.
A job, because he made him look. The guy is, he's emotionless. There's nothing to him.
He does look like one of those robots at Disney World, I'm telling you, in the President's Hall.
Oh, I don't know what we're going to do with this. I really don't. But we're in a predicament. I'm really curious how many people have got Biden remorse yet.
That would be a good Gallup poll, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Just ask if you had to do it over again.
I could tell you, in my barbershop, there is no Biden remorse because anybody that comes in there didn't vote for him.
Yes.
But there is a lot of hate for the guy.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Well, he certainly made a point of blaming Trump somehow.
Oh.
He was blaming Trump for the border crisis. I was thinking, are you nuts? Do you think anybody is buying that? Trump was setting up those walls and keeping people from coming in. Everybody knows it. He decreased the flow. You're blaming him for the uptick?
Nothing else. They got to throw the blame on somebody. Nobody could screw up the way they did in 60 days. And not practicing somebody else for what they did.
Yeah. It is always a pleasure, my friend, and I will talk with you again this Monday.
You got it, my friend. You have a good week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Biden, count on the flub-ups.
Oh, yeah. We'll keep our ears pierced.
My friend, you take care.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye.
The Master Barber. Okay, we're going to take our final break when we come back. Remember Cinderella? They're not doing it anymore. Too many white people.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment. And I found this to be kind of interesting, kind of sad. A planned production of Cinderella canceled because the cast was too white. The artistic director, whose name was Michael Brindisi, said it was 98% white, meaning the cast. That doesn't work with what we're saying we're going to do. Now, I can understand, like, you watch commercials these days and they have different racial groups, and I think that's good. You know, it's good to see that they are getting those jobs. But when you go back and stop production of some of these great classics because when they came out, the people were of a particular behavior, whatever it is, you know, race, gender. So this is the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. It's in Minnesota, and they're scrapping their Cinderella project altogether. Here was the statement. After careful consideration and with our ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, we are going to cancel our upcoming production of Cinderella. Our hope in beginning the production process with a new title will allow us to put into practice an intentional process based on the work we've been doing towards equity and inclusivity. The thing is, you're forcing the issue. You're forcing the issue that way. And, you know, it's kind of sad that these tales, which were written, you know, actually hundreds, if, you know, several hundred years ago in some cases, you know, why stifle those kinds of things? Okay. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, we got a lot of sports going on. Ed, I wanted to touch base. We got the baseball season opening. We got the hockey season. What about the Rays, and when is their season opening? Do you know?
It's actually Thursday. It's coming up Thursday, so six days.
So are we going to have a percentage of seats available for sale?
Looks like 9,000 fans right now until things change as far as increasing the attendance.
Okay.
For COVID.
And finally, you're always following them. Are they going to be good again this year?
Well, it's every year. We don't know. There have been some key players replaced. Of course, Blake Snell. Pitcher Blake Snell's gone. Pitcher Charlie Morton's gone. Yeah. They've added a couple of bats, brought up a couple of pitching. It's all going to be about who stays healthy. And, of course, what the Yankees are doing, okay, you know, with their payroll.
Meantime, the Lightning are rolling along. They've got, I think, the best goaltender in a long time in the NHL.
They lost last night.
Lose last night, but he had won like 11 in a row. 12 in a row. Yeah. He's just an amazing goalie.
He was going for the NHL record of 15, I believe it is.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite sport between hockey and baseball?
Football.
Good answer.
I don't catch every game when it's hockey, and I don't catch every game when it's Rays. Probably more Rays than hockey.
Okay. But you love your football.
Oh, absolutely.
And you love your college basketball.
I am looking for this season, looking forward. I'd like to meet some of the players, you know, because I didn't get to meet them last year.
Yeah.
Some of the new guys. Actually get to talk to Brady and stuff like that. But
you're going to have that opportunity. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. Okay. It is time for our top 10. We have top 10 America's affordable elite colleges. This comes out of Forbes magazine. And what they did was they ranked four-year schools based on three categories: research, social mobility, and providing opportunities for public service. So these are the top 10 affordable elite colleges. Number 10. Georgetown University is one of them. Very good. They have a great, your predicted median earnings from them, $90,000 predicted. I don't know how all of these things are figured out. But anyway, they're number 10. Number 9, UC San Diego, University of California, San Diego, where you can get a median earning, if you graduate from there, of $60,600. Number 8, Harvard. You're getting a bang for your buck at Harvard.
Your median projected earnings coming out of that school, $95,000. Pretty good. Number seven is the College of Holy Cross. That's in Massachusetts. Let's see. Median earnings there are $68,000. Number six. Hey, here in Florida. The University of Florida is number six. You got a good value there, and it's a good school. Your median earnings there, $54,600. Number five. Washington and Lee University. Now, I'll bet someone's going to try to change the name of that school.
Mm-hmm.
Washington
mm-hmm.
and Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the people they've been setting their sights on. Anyway, they're number five, and your median earnings there, $76,000. Number four, UCLA. Yeah, UCLA, number four. Median earnings there, $61,300. Not bad. Number three, this is a great school no matter how it's ranked. Stanford University, Palo Alto, California. That's near San Francisco. Where your median earnings, $91,700 per year. Not bad at all. Number two, staying out in California, University of California, Davis. Wow, they must be doing something special. Your projected median earnings there, $58,469. Okay, here we go. I know you don't know the school, but let me just ask you this, Ed. What region of the country do you think the number one most affordable elite college is in?
Stay out in California somewhere.
Out in the West Coast. Yep. Okay,
yep.
Go ahead. It's actually in New York. It's Baruch. It's in the College University New York system.
I was actually going to say Northeast, but I would have never got that college. I was going to say Northeast.
Yeah. So the Baruch College in New York is number one. Their median earnings, $57,188. So I guess based on the amount of money that you will spend, those are the top 10 schools that Forbes magazine is pushing. And you'll get a good education there, which is good. I think a lot of schools I'm kind of worried about, very worried about. You go there, spend a lot of money, and really, how much are you learning? Okay, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Always remember, freedom works.